Everybody was negative. We all worked together. We all were positive. And just a great time of fellowship and serving. So appreciate those of you who went and those of you who didn't go who helped us prayerfully, financially. And so it's a great blessing. All right, well, if you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, continuing our series in the book of Philippians, we'll look at verses 5 through 11 today. It's a great passage that exalts Christ. If you notice in our songs, everything today was about Christ, you know, bowing our hearts, bending our knees, just raising up who Christ is. And there's a reason for that, because that's what our passage is about. And in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, it says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, and taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." It's a great passage, and I'd say to describe this last week, I'll describe it with two animals, okay? A lion and a frog, all right? Well, you may have heard about the lion, Cecil the Lion. Did y'all hear about that? And how could you not? Yeah, we were on a mission trip, kind of wave everything, and something about a lion. I'm like, I read about it. I said, what's going on? What's the big deal about this? And if you didn't know, a Zimbabwe lion was hunted and killed, and it was from a dentist from Minnesota. Now there's this international outrage. They were protesting his dental office, and now they're trying to extradite him back to Zimbabwe. And the wildlife and fisheries is involved in all this. And put everything into perspective. Animals are important. We all know that. And Brother Eric and I were talking during the week, talking about the Cecil, that no one seems to be in outrage over the hungry children. There's no protest over the millions of babies being aborted. You know, there's no outrage over the perversion of marriage in our nation. And it just shows you that we have our priorities all out of whack. You know, we focus on all the wrong things. And so in the midst of that, we had a frog. And on our mission trip, we did the soccer camp. We did a Bible school. And it was a great week. We had mainly Hispanics, but there were whites and there were black kids and all three together. And so it was a great mixture there. And we taught them about the frog. Anybody know what the frog is? Fully rely on God. And that was our theme, and that's what we talked about. And, that's what life is all about, right, is fully relying on God, trusting Him. And we lose sight of that in all this political correctness and social media and lions being killed. They're killed all the time. But, you know, all the craziness of our lives, and we're to fully rely on God. It was a great week because we just taught them the simple stories of the Bible. We taught about creation, that God created everything. We talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus calming the storm, and how Jesus loves the little children. So just those simple things, and see the children and their faith and responding to God. It's a good reminder for us for following Christ, that we can follow God, that we can fully rely on God no matter what. So I want to ask you this morning as we look at this passage, are you relying on God? Do you have that simple childlike faith in Christ? And what does that look like? Well, it looks like a lot of things, but this passage reminds us about three keys to following Christ. Three keys to following Christ, and it's a good reminder for us that we can fully rely on Him. Last week in our passage in verses 1 through 4, we talked about unity, that we are to stick together for the gospel, that we're to care for one another more than we care about ourselves. And Paul is saying, church, you need to be united, you need to have humility, and here is the greatest example of all is Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 5, he says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." And he goes and tells us about the mindset Christ had. And he said, if you want to be united, if you want to have humility and be the church you need to be, have this mindset. Be like Jesus. And I'd say for us, if we want to be fully rely on God, the frog, we need to have these traits as well. And so I want to give you three keys to following Christ from our passage. The first thing is stop being all about you. Stop being all about you. How many of you know what a selfie stick is? I guess you do, right? It's a little stick. You take pictures with your phone. You take pictures of yourself. And I read the theme parks are banning it now because they'll take the sticks on the ride, and it's dangerous because they come out and they could be hurt the ride or hurt themselves. And some of you have selfie sticks, and I know some of you don't use it to take pictures of yourselves, but as a group. And so there's nothing wrong with a selfie stick. But I bring it up as a reminder of we live in a society that everything's about us, right? Everything's about me and what I'm going through and my day, and we post things on Facebook and all that stuff. But life is not about us. It's not about me. It's about we. It's about one another. And Christ is the greatest example of this. And notice in verse 6, it says, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now, in this passage, there's several verses and several truths that seem on the surface hard to understand. And what do they mean? But really, the basic big picture is very simple. The truth is clear. If you notice in our first verse, verse 6, the first part, it says Jesus existed in the form of God. He existed in the form of God. And we think of a form as a shape or appearance of something. And that's not the idea here. The idea is not that Jesus appeared as if he was God while on earth. Jesus was God while on earth. There's no really English way to convey it. It means basically an outward manifestation of an inner reality. And so while on earth, Jesus was God. And then it says he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Doesn't mean Jesus was not equal to God. Jesus was God. He cannot grasp at something that he already was. What it means is he was God and is God, yet he refused to cling to or grasp or hold on to his favored position. He didn't take advantage of all his privileges while he was here on earth. Just like when an actor or an athlete gets pulled over by the police for something. They say, don't you know who I am? And look at me. And they think they can skate free because of their position, of who they are. But Jesus, while he was on earth, didn't take advantage of who he was. You know, Jesus could have said, don't you know who I am? I'm Jesus, the Son of God. I'm not going to leave the glories of heaven and come and live on earth. I'm not going to be born as a baby and live with lowly people. Don't you know who I am? I'm not going to come and live a life of hardship. I'm not going to come and serve people and wash their feet and touch the unclean. I'm too holy for that. And then the cross, I'm not going to die on the cross. Don't you know who I am? And Paul is telling us that Jesus did not take advantage of his privileges. He put all that aside. It's like when you play Monopoly. How many of you like to play Monopoly? You get out of a what free card? Get out of jail free card, right? If you land in jail, you can use that card and you can skate on by. But you know what? Jesus could have used his get out of jail free card, couldn't he? He could have used his get out of everything free card because of who he was, but he did not do that. Instead, he emptied himself. Notice in verse 7, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of man. He emptied himself. He didn't empty himself of being God. While on earth, he was 100% man and 100% God. And the idea is not that his deity was reduced, but rather restrained. Some translations say he was stripped of his privileges. Again, it's a mindset that Jesus laid aside his privileges. He didn't take advantage of who he was while he was here on earth. Think about it. He hung out with tax collectors and sinners. He healed the sick. He loved the unlovable. He put up with being mistreated and mocked. He even died on the cross. And at any moment, Jesus could have stopped the whole thing, couldn't he? At any moment, he could have said, I'm the Son of God. I'm out of here. At any moment, he could have unleashed the wrath of God. But he didn't do that. He laid aside his privileges, laid aside his rights, and came to earth to die on the cross. Why did he do that? He did that for you and me. Because Jesus was not all about himself. He was about us and what we need and our relationship with God. And all this is a reminder for us that we are not to be all about ourselves. That sometimes we have to lay aside our privileges. Sometimes we have to lay aside our rights. Sometimes we have to lay aside ourselves and be about other people. And Paul is saying, church, for us to be united, we have to be about one another. We have to deny ourselves. And so I wonder, as we begin to look at this passage and this text, do you deny yourself? Or do you assert your rights? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've done? Don't you know this and that? Jesus never did that. And we're not to do that either. We're to lay aside those things. You saw a picture of the Goodwill store there. And we didn't serve there. We shopped there, okay? And Brother Eric and I, we found a new hobby, a shop at Goodwill. And we went to a Goodwill, or two or three, I lost count. But that's right. But at one of the Goodwills, one of the many we went to in our spare time, on the racks they have the different glasses and cups and stuff. And I saw a cup, and you've heard the saying before, it had joy. Anybody know what joy stands for? Jesus, others, you. Okay, y'all haven't seen the cup, I guess. Jesus and others, you, right? And that's how we have true joy. It's not about us and then God and everybody else when it's convenient. It's about Jesus and others and then ourselves. And that's what Christ was about. He was about others. And so stop being all about you. The second thing it reminds us here to be like Christ, to follow Christ, is serve God no matter what. Serve God no matter what. Stop being all about you. Jesus wasn't all about himself, and serve God no matter what. And we see Jesus served no matter what. It was a great time to serve last week, and you saw pictures of the soccer camp. And the idea of the soccer camp was to have a play soccer and get kids from the neighborhood there, and then we could get their names, and they could follow up later, a church in the area. And we had soccer camp scheduled for 3 days, and we only had kids one of those days. And so for two of those days, you have to drive. We stayed in Gulfport. We have to drive 30 minutes to Biloxi. We have to set the camp up, set the nets up, get everything ready, get the snacks and all that. And two of those days, nobody showed up. And so you have to break it down, put it back up, and drive back 30 minutes. And you wonder, why are we here? And, you know, it's a reminder for us. Sometimes when you serve God, there's no crowd there to see you serve. Sometimes nobody shows up when you serve. Sometimes there's no visible fruit, and you wonder why. But you're still to serve God. And then the last day, we had to clean out where we stayed. We stayed at the associational office, and so we had to do the regular mopping and cleaning. And I was in there. Brother Eric was cleaning the sinks really good, and I was cleaning the toilets. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to clean the urinals. That's where I draw the line, okay? I think he even cleaned the urinals. You know, it's a reminder for us that serving God is not always glamorous. Serving God sometimes is being behind the pulpit in front of the people. Sometimes serving God is being on the potty cleaning it, right? Sometimes serving God is being with the down and out and being where there's no crowds and no glamour. But we have to serve no matter what the condition is. Because that's what Jesus did. He came to serve, not to be served. Matthew 20, verse 27 and 28 said, "And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom of many." We're to serve like Jesus. Notice in verse 7, he says, at the end, he taking the form of a bondservant. The word means slave. And being made in the likeness of man, in verse 8, being found in appearance as a man. That doesn't mean Jesus was a clone or something like that. It refers to that which was made to be something else, not just in appearance, but in reality. So Jesus, while on earth, was a man, 100% man. He got hungry, he grew tired, he dealt with temptation. He put aside all his privileges to be a man. And we kind of take it for granted that Jesus was a man among us. And I was reminded recently, and I'm reminded now, of how helpless a newborn is. And with Chloe around, just one day I was like, man, I just forgotten that an infant is relies on you for everything. You have to feed her. You have to, you know, clean her. You have to change her diapers. You have to move her. She can't walk around. She can't follow you. If you neglected a child, an infant, the child would be helpless, right? Dependent on everything. And you realize Jesus was like that at one time. He was a baby, right? He wore diapers if they had diapers back then. He sucked a bottle. He relied upon Joseph and Mary for everything, right? That is humility coming to earth to live among us. And he served others. And he even washed disciples' feet. You know, that was reserved for the lowliest of lows. And yet he did that. And what he did while on earth was far more humbling than cleaning urinals or cleaning toilets. He was a great servant. And then notice in verse 8, he was humbled by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's the lowliest of lows, right? See, he started in heaven, and then he came to earth, and then now he's dying. And Paul says he's obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Think about this. Jesus didn't come just to die. He came to die the most humiliating way possible. The worst way possible was to die upon the cross. And you and I as believers today, 2,000 years removed, we wear cross necklaces, and we put a cross up here, and you may have a cross on your Bible. Believers in the first century did not do such a thing because the cross was a symbol of shame. The scripture says, "Cursed is anyone who hung on a tree." And it was reserved for the worst criminal and for the slave. Ancient writers said that to die on a cross was to die 1,000 times before you take your last breath. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't just die, he died on the cross. And I don't know if you saw in the video a picture of me holding the pinata. Did you see that? And we had a pinata out, and the kids love to come out, and they take a hit, and a little bit of candy would fall out here, a little bitty candy would fall out here, and we did that between the storm and the lightning and everything else. It's a little crazy. And then finally it was time to break it, and there was this little fella, Joshua. He was a big little fella, and he had the bat, and I said, "All right, Joshua, this is the last lick. Let's get it going, boy." And so he knocked it, and that was the end of it. All fell out. And they got their candy, and we rushed them in so they didn't get struck by lightning. But you know what I was thinking about this passage? You know, Jesus was a human pinata, was he not? They took blow after blow after blow, and he died upon the cross, and his body was broken and blood split out. And just like that candy spilled out, and the kids enjoyed all those great treasures, because of Christ and his broken body, we get to enjoy the great treasure of being forgiven, the great treasure of being made right with God. And so that cost him to serve, and he was obedient no matter what. And you and I, in our obedience, it takes sacrifice. And you say, "Well, I can serve when I have time, or I can serve when this is convenient for me," or whatever. You know, any sacrifice we make is never as big as the sacrifice Jesus made. Any act of obedience that we have is nothing in comparison to the obedience that Jesus had. And so we're to serve the Lord. And Paul is saying, church, to be united, to be the way you need to be, you need to serve one another. And you need to be obedient even to the point of death. Because guess what? That's what Jesus did. If Jesus can do that, we can clean a few toilets, right? We can go and help the backpack for the kids in Upper Point Coupee. We can serve. We can go on mission trips. Because we're to serve God no matter what. So stop being all about you. Serve God no matter what. And thirdly and finally, submit to God every day. Submit to God every day. A man turned himself to the authorities the other day. David Moore escaped from prison in North Carolina 40 years ago. And he'd been on the run ever since. And so when a local county sheriff's office got a call from this guy, the detective thought it was a joke. But he called and turned himself in. And the sheriff said, I think he was just tired of running. That's a long time to be on the run. You're always looking over your shoulder. It's an amazing story, right? You know, you and I may not be criminals like that, but we're on the run sometimes, right? We run away from God. And even while we were in church and in faith, we still run away from God. We run away from the way of the cross. We run away from the path of self-denial. We run away from the path of serving others. But we have to, every day, surrender to God. That's the only true way we can stop being about us. That's the only true way we can serve God, is if we humble ourselves and surrender every day. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up after me." He must deny himself and take up his cross daily. He didn't say take up his cross on Sunday mornings. He said take up the cross daily and follow me. I love these few verses. Notice in verse 9, he says, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name." And yes, Jesus submitted to the Father while on earth. Jesus had a humble position on earth. But guess what? We can't leave Jesus on the cross, can we? Because he came alive on the third day. And then after spending 40 days or so on earth, he was resurrected and highly exalted above every name, back to the highest position ever. And here is Jesus, exalted above all. And notice what it says in verse 10 and 11. So at that time, every knee will bow. Those who are in heaven and under earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, when a ruling dignitary approaches his subjects, they all rise in respect. One day a British king entered a room and everyone stood. He said, "Please take your seats, gentlemen. I'm not Lord, you know." "No, Your Highness," said one of the group. "If you were, we would have dropped to our knees." You know, when Paul wrote this, they would have to bow the knee to the emperor. And the emperor would even want himself to be called Lord. But Paul says one day even the emperor is going to have to bow the knee to Jesus. Notice it says those who are in heaven, holy angels, believers in glory, those on earth, the redeemed and unredeemed, those under the earth, the fallen angels, and those who died apart from Christ. And I was thinking about this, preparing. We speak of Cecil the lion. Well, guess what? Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and He is the King of Kings, and one day everyone is going to bow the knee to Jesus, whether they want to or not. You know, we have a choice. We can bow the knee now, or we can bow the knee later. We can bow the knee now out of pleasure and joy, and because we want to submit, or we're going to bow the knee later because we're forced to bow the knee. One day everyone is going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is King. One day, everybody's going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. So will you bow to Him now, or will you bow to Him later? But we all have to bow to Him in submission. And notice, Jesus humbled Himself, and God exalted Him. Jesus never sought a name for Himself. He has a name above all names. Jesus bent His knee to serve others, and God desires that every knee bow to Him. And really, when you think about it, this passage, it could be summarized in two statements. One is you're to be like Jesus, and two, you're to bow to Jesus. You're to be like Jesus, and you're to bow to Jesus. You know, denying ourselves, being obedient, it's not easy. But that's why we have to bow to Jesus every day. And just like Jesus in the garden said, "Not my will, but thy will be done," we have to submit and say, "Not my will, but your will be done." And so I wonder, have you bowed the knee to Jesus? R.C. Sproul said, "We must not forget that Jesus was, in human form, the creator of the world. At any moment in His ministry, He could have extinguished the life of those who opposed Him. The world was made by Him, in Him, and for Him. He had the power and authority to alter that creation by eliminating some undesirable rascals. But He chose to humble Himself before those very rascals. He allowed Himself to be arrested, tried, scourged, mocked, and crucified by men whom He could have annihilated with a single glance. That is humility, acting with less power than one has at his disposal, and when attacked by another, displays an astonishing level of grace. That is Jesus, who is our Lord. It is precisely His mindset that Paul called us to imitate. Stop being all about you. Serve God no matter what, and submit to God every day." So I just want to encourage you this week, find a way to be selfless, to go out of your way to help someone. And if you're not serving God, take a step of faith and serve Him. It doesn't mean you have to have a title in the church. It doesn't mean you have to have a certain position in the church, but you need to serve in His heart and be available. And there's opportunities to serve in our church. There's opportunities to serve in our community. There's opportunities to serve your family, people at work. And surrender to God and His will today. If you're a non-believer, if you haven't given your life to Christ, your greatest need is to bow the knee and surrender to the Lord today. Say, "I'm a sinner. I need You, Christ." But guess what? If we are believers, our greatest need today is to do what? Is to bow the knee to Jesus and say, "You're Lord. Be Lord of my life." And as James says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for Your word, Lord. And I know in this passage there's a lot of truths here that on the surface reading them seem difficult to understand, but they're not difficult to understand, Lord. They show us that Jesus came to earth. He put aside all His privileges, all His rights. And He came and lived among us. He served us. And more than that, He died for us. A great humble position, but yet now He's highly exalted. It's a reminder for us that we're to be like Jesus. We're to have that same mindset of service, of humility, of being obedient no matter what the cost. But it's also a reminder we're to bow the knee to Jesus. We're to surrender and submit every day to Christ as our Lord and as our King. So Lord, we bow to you in our hearts now, Lord God, and say that we belong to you. And we want to surrender our will to you and everything to you. And let us be obedient now. Do what you've called us to do. Pray for those who don't know you today, Lord, that they would bow the knee now, Lord. One day they're going to call you Lord. God, they need to call you Lord now before it's too late. While they have a chance to turn away from themselves, turn away from their sin, and say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my King. Forgive me. So we thank you, Lord. It's in your Son's name. Amen. Would you stand as we respond? However God's called you to respond. Maybe just where you are and in your heart, you just want to surrender to God. I just need to pray for God to give you a servant's heart. Be obedient. Just to be selfless. Whatever God has called you to do today, let's do that out of obedience.